All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig, and welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. Did I say I'm Scott from Koenig? I am. I still am. That's Nick from Koenig. And welcome back. It's good to have you here as we do every weekend, every Wednesday.
Every weekend?
Every weekend. Every Wednesday. So let's get into a few housekeeping things before we move on to anything. First off, if you wouldn't mind throwing us a thumbs up and subscribing down below. Next, remember that you only have a few more days to enter into our giveaway. It's going on. You ask about it, people say, when are you going to do a giveaway? We're doing a giveaway.
It's up right now.
It's been running for now almost 2 weeks. July 17, 2020, just in case you're watching from the future, at 11:59 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time, the giveaway will be done.
Yes.
We will announce the winner on our YouTube channel 24 hours after, within the week after that.
So in the following week.
We're gonna basically put up a video on our YouTube channel, and it will be live for 24 hours where it will say who the winner is.
Right.
In that 24-hour period, you must get in touch with us.
And if not,
that's right.
Then sorry. So the best thing to do is turn on the bell notification, so that way you get alerted every time.
So make sure you're subscribed, make sure you have the bell notification on, and make sure you get it rolled. I will tell you that I was looking at the number of people that have entered the giveaway already, and because this contest requires just a little bit of effort, and again, go back 2 weeks ago, look at the podcast we did. It explains all the rules, terms, conditions, all that stuff. I know it's 30 minutes. Watch it. It will tell you everything you need to know. But I've been looking, and because it requires some effort, you have a great chance at winning a set of wheels. And we're going to be giving away some T-shirts.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So spend the effort. I mean, think about how long it would take you to save up money to buy a set of wheels.
Right.
Take a little bit of that effort, put it into researching just a touch, answer the questions, do what the podcast says, and you could be chosen to win a set of wheels.
Yeah.
That simple.
Curious to see who's going to win.
Yeah. Fair. So let's get into today. Today we're talking about TPMS sensors, and we're not really talking about how they function and work and the importance. We're basically talking about, with TPMS sensors, we get a lot of questions about, do you need to put them into your new wheels?
Right.
Should you use them with your new wheels? Can I leave them out of my new wheels? And those types of questions. So we're going to really be talking about how it affects when you change your wheels, and less to do with how the systems actually function.
Right.
Right.
So not so much whether or not you like really need them or...
Yeah, we'll touch on it a little bit. All right, so I'll explain briefly how the TPMS works.
Okay.
Tire pressure monitoring systems. They work by essentially using sensors that are either in the tire, in the wheel,
mm-hmm.
or there are somehow on board the vehicle. Sometimes they're like optical hall sensor type things.
Right.
To detect when your car or when your tire is low on air pressure. Mm-hmm. Now, the ones that use sensors in the tire, they're a pressure sensor, and it's looking for different frequencies so that it can actually tell you what the pressure of your tire is.
Mm-hmm.
Some vehicles, like German vehicles, Volkswagens, Audis, some of the Mercedes-Benz, they use like this optical hall type effect where it allows them to see the circumference of the tire and the rotation, and essentially that is what they're using to decide if a tire is a little shorter or whatever it may be, and that's how they know that the air pressure has decreased in that tire.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, getting into TPMS, the one thing you should understand is that, you know, TPMS was started roughly 2005, where the government had, the U.S. government had mandated that on any car produced after 2005 that there was a tire pressure monitoring system on board.
that it had to have it no matter what.
Right. That the car would have to have it. Now, some states do require it as part of an annual vehicle inspection. Mm-hmm. New York being one of them. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if your car came with TPMS, you can't roll in there with a TPMS light on.
Right. Right. I mean, are there ways around it? I mean, like, if they... I mean, you know, they, for the most part, just do your check engine light, like when they plug in the OBD2 scanner.
Does it read?
Yeah.
I don't know if the New York State system does, and I also don't know if certain cars do and certain cars don't.
Okay.
So.
That's valid.
But, you know, when it comes down to TPMS, TPMS, sometimes it operates independently, mm-hmm. meaning that the system is very primitive and it was only designed
to tell your tire pressure.
Right. And other times, the TPMS system is a little bit more advanced, and the vehicle actually relies on that TPMS sensor to give the proper air pressure so it understands if for some reason you have a vehicle stability system, traction control system. They may depend on a certain number of revolutions that it's expecting of the tire to judge whether the tire is slipping or anything like that.
Right.
Well, if it's using a TPMS sensor to basically say, hey, this is the proper air pressure, so this tire is actually slipping, there may be, you know, interdependencies of vehicle systems. So that's the one, you know, thing you need to keep in mind. You know, is it going to drive your car nuts if you don't have a properly working TPMS system?
Right. Well, what are some of the other things that it can mess with? Like, what do they, I guess, combine the TPMS with?
Again, vehicle stability systems, traction control systems, not always, but sometimes. And especially the more sophisticated of a car you go, a lot of times the more interdependent sensors and systems are.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
A good example might be like the Volkswagen system. Like it may also, the same sensor that may, and I don't know this 100%, but same sensor that may optically see if the tire is the correct rolling diameter. Now he's going to make me do it. That sensor may also be used for the traction control systems or whatever it may be to track if that wheel is slipping or not. Okay, so I don't know that for a fact, but again, there's interdependency of systems.
Right.
So when you go to get a new set of wheels, the most commonly asked questions we get are, should I buy a new set of sensors? Can I leave the sensors out? Can I use my current sensors and move them over to a new set of wheels?
Right.
Right. So let's address those real quick. The first thing is, as far as can you swap them over to a new set of wheels? Absolutely. You know, again, some systems don't need the sensor at all in the tire. A Volkswagen, you know, German stuff, like I said.
Right.
And really, you don't have to worry about a sensor. You put your wheels on, as long as they're the same size tire, and you basically just hit this reset button. And essentially, it will figure out the right size, you know, like where everything is, and give you the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to using your sensors out of, let's say, your current OE wheels or a set of wheels you have in the car right now, what I tend to like to do in those cases is, you know, sometimes I personally bring my wheels to a shop,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't like people messing with my car, you know? They always want to pull it in for you or anything like that. I don't really, like, don't touch my stuff, right?
Or, like, they'll use... Or, like, they just won't take as much care with it. Like, they'll just go at it with the impact gun. Next thing you know, like, they scratched it because, you know.
Yeah. So, I personally don't like bringing my car anywhere. I like to just bring them.
I feel that.
Right. So a lot of times what I'll do is, get the car up in jack stands or use my quick jacks. Put the car up. Take all four wheels off.
Just go to the tire shop.
Throw them in the back of my wife's truck or my truck or whatever it is. And, drive over to the tire shop and say, hey, you know, here we go. Now, what I do is, as I'm taking the wheels off, I have a wax pen or even a piece of chalk, and what I'll do is I'll actually mark the tires, right? So I'll put RF for right front and LF for left front and RR for right rear. And what I do is when I get there, I say, hey, look, you know, I've labeled all the tires for you. Can you please make sure when you swap them over, you write
the same thing.
Do the same thing on the new tires.
Yeah.
So when I go back to the car, I know exactly which corner. This way I don't have to recalibrate TPMS.
Right.
You know what I mean? Same size tire, same. All I'm doing is just making sure the sensors go back in the right place.
Yeah.
If you don't have that luxury, a lot of times wheel and tire shops will have TPMS tools, and they're able to do that automatically. You may not even know. You walk out, everything's great, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't even know anything about it. Sometimes your vehicle can do it automatically. Like BMWs are like this. You go through the menu on your navigation screen, you know, on your radio screen, and you're able to quickly go to TPMS, reset, and the thing will find the sensors that are in the tires.
Gotcha.
Recalibrate them. And then obviously there's different tools. So I have a TPMS tool, so I'll use that to change between multiple sets of wheels.
It's a universal one, or is it like car?
It's universal. So it allows me to basically do most vehicles.
Well, for your car, you have it in the valve stem.
Well, it's in the tire. So
in the tire.
Yeah. So it's connected to the valve stem.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. Anyhow, a lot of people are like, "You tired on these things?" We're like, "You're like, why are you always yawning?" Just tired.
We stay up late.
Yeah, it takes a lot to produce this stuff for you guys. But yeah, so going back to the original questions, can you use your TPMS sensors from your current wheels? Yes. Can you buy another set of wheels for? Another set of sensors for new wheels. Yes. Like, you know, I know for me, like, the extra set I bought was, it came to about a little over $100. You know, it was like $25, $28 a sensor. Mm-hmm. I keep my secondary set of wheels. When I put the new wheels on the car, all I have to do is run around with a tool, bing, 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 go into the school, hook up to the OBD2 sensor, hit relearn, and
you're done.
And the new sensors are in, take my tool out, throw another thing, and then, you know, it registered.
Nice. Oh, so for your car, you plug it into the OBD scanner for it to read the
new codes. Okay. So what I do is I basically, you take this one tool and you go around to the tool and you basically just push it against the valve stem and push the button. And what it does is it's recording the corners. So okay. It will say start at front left, and you do that, push the button, and it finds the sensor, records the information, goes to, and what happens is now once it has all four, you basically just hit lock. And then you go over to the car, you plug in, and it will say, you know, are you connected to the vehicle? Yes. You know, which vehicle is it? You go in, you put Nissan 350Z, it may say track package, and then it will say, have you scanned all tires? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is the value stored? Yes. Program these to ECU. Yes, you wait for the thing to go, you know, and then it comes back and says you are complete. You know, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I've never had to deal with that. I've never had a car.
Yeah,
newer than a 05 or newer.
Right.
So
well, that would negate a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, completely. I have to manually check every time, make sure my tire pressure is good.
Right. Yeah. Now let's go on to the question of, do I have to run them? Well, I guess you don't. They won't stop your vehicle from working. I would verify, especially if your car is a little bit more modern or is a little bit more elaborate, like a higher-end vehicle, that you find out ahead of time if those TPMS sensors or systems, are they integrated into other systems, like right. vehicle stability systems, traction control systems, mm-hmm. or anything that could potentially affect your vehicle otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, and it's just a primitive TPMS sensor, TPMS system, look, it's really on you. I mean, remember that the reason those TPMS systems were mandated was they did a few things. The first thing is they made sure that you did not have a situation where you had these catastrophic blowouts and were on the side of the road. So they're trying to keep you safe in that method. The next reason is that again, some of these systems are interdependent, and they want to make sure that everything continues to maintain correctly so you don't have any handling or steering issues or anything like that. So TPMS sensors, again, are a safety system. Some states require them. It's illegal to dismantle them. So you can't take a safety system apart or disable it when it's already been put into your car factory.
Yeah.
Look at local legislations, look at NHTSA, look at all these different things. Make sure you know what you're doing.
I'd imagine so. But is it as serious as, like, when you put, like, an aftermarket steering wheel in your car and get rid of the airbag?
I would imagine it would be. Any safety system disabled is same thing. Maybe safety wise, it's not nearly on the scale. I don't know how you rate them.
No, I meant as far as like, you know, how they view it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question, I guess, in that sense. I think every state's going to be a little different. Cop situation. But what I will say is this, is that when it comes down, like the only time I don't use sensors, I have two sets of wheels that I randomly bounce between, and I also have a set of wheels and tires that I would use if I'm going to the track or really beating the car up or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't put sensors in those tires. But the reason is because usually it means I don't go to the track that often anymore, but like,
yeah,
usually it would mean that I'm going to the track or I'm at the track. Well, I'm messing with tire pressures. I'm doing all these different things. They may not be exactly at the threshold that they want for TPMS. So it doesn't really affect anything for me. And it's a closed course, closed track, right? So that's a situation where I don't use them. I'm sure you'll have plenty of people to comment about, well, you know, I didn't run them or I did run them. And we do a lot of, you know, like we do a lot of wheel tests. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll mount up a set of wheels and tires and I don't bother putting TPMS sensors in it because I'm not going to keep those wheels and tires.
Yeah.
Throw them on the car, go for a little ride. The light does come back on. But then, you know, shortly after that,
put the other wheels back on.
And then, you know, as soon as I roll down the street for a minute or a second, you know, a minute, the light goes off.
It senses it, yeah.
So let's see. I think it's really just a matter of if your vehicle came with it, I think if you have no opposition to it, do it. A lot of times, you could swap your sensors over from your OE wheels, you know?
Right.
You mark them, the whole thing. A lot of times what a guy will do is, especially if you have them in your OE wheels and you want to move them over to an aftermarket set,
mm-hmm,
a lot of times what you do is bring your wheels, and what they'll do is they'll break the bead like 180 degrees away from the valve so they don't break the valve.
Yeah.
Then they'll just use a tire iron to give themselves some room. Then they'll carefully take the valve out, throw a rubber valve stem in, pull it through so they can inflate your old tire and give them back to you. And then they'll put those sensors into your new wheels. Occasionally, sensors get broken during dismounting. It's just a casualty of war. But for the most part, they can be you know, flipped back into your new set of wheels. Make sure you mark your wheels, as we said, because it can be a pain in the butt trying to recalibrate.
Trying to figure out which wheel was where.
Yep. So that's kind of the skinny. I think that, you know, TPMS sometimes is a really big lifesaver. I mean, remember, the primary function of TPMS is to make sure that your tire pressures are good and you don't have blowouts. People don't understand. The majority of blowouts come from a tire getting overheated. And the air pressure that's inside the tire actually helps keep the tire cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're running at, you know, if you get a nail in the tire and you slowly are losing air, that tire, as you use it and drive on the highway, is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And eventually that will lead to a catastrophic blowout. The tire just can't take it anymore and blows out.
Yeah.
But let's say, you know, you're at 30-something pounds and you start losing air and your TPMS light comes on, you pull over and you catch it. You could save yourself a blowout. You could save yourself money on a tire.
Mm-hmm.
It's money on having somebody change the tire. Like the whole thing. So I think TPMS is a system that's worth it. And if you're going to buy another set of sensors because you're going to swap back and forth between two sets of wheels,
mm-hmm,
I don't think it's money that's going to be lost, right?
Okay.
Like you know me, like even when I go on trips and stuff, every one of my cars I have a plug kit and a little BS compressor,
mm-hmm,
and so. You know, it's happened to me before, taking a trip, some, you know, like we get the TPMS light, I pull off an exit, I look, oh crap, one of the tires got a nail in it. So I get into the car, I have these set of like dykes, the ones that they use to pinch like stainless steel hose clamps and tighten them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just use a set of those and I pull the nail out and, you know, it's a little bit difficult, but, you know, sometimes, you know, between the area of the bumper and the ground, you can get in there and, you know, work it in and out and get a plug in and... I've had it happen before, and it saves me. I mean, yeah, it takes 25 minutes on the side of the road while you're jerking around with the.
Yeah, well, 25 minutes on the side of the road isn't as bad as if your tire blows out.
And it costs me nothing. You can get these plug kits so cheap.
I think I paid like $2 for mine. Or something like that.
Harbor Freight. I end up buying. What I do is, I think I have a Harbor Freight one.
From.
Yeah, I have a good one at home. I have a good set at home, but in my toolbox. But in each one of the cars, I have a brand new Harbor Freight plug kit in each one of the glove compartments.
Right.
Because it's $5, and it's there. Like, it gives you 4 or 5 plugs. Well, you just need to use it that one time when you need
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I think it's a cool thing. It's a, I guess, pro tip.
Yeah, I actually, I don't remember what it was. I think it was our top 10 tools video,
yep.
which you should go watch, by the way. It's on
channel. Go over to our YouTube channel.
I was at Harbor Freight buying like a whole bunch of other stuff, mm-hmm. and I was like, I should get a tire plug kit.
Yeah.
Threw it in the CRV, and yep. it's been there since.
Yeah. And again, for that $5, you will love yourself. I'm not even joking. You will pat yourself on the back like so many times the time that you actually need it, and you're like, it's right there. And you're just able to take care of it and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, it's, you don't understand how, and like, I'll tell you, like, one time, I mean, I've plugged more than a few tires on the side of the road, but so one time it happened to my wife and I going, we were taking a trip, and it happened, but there was one time it happened to me at night, and I'll tell you that, like, I was stuck on, so right where the Belt Parkway goes into the Southern State.
Okay, yeah, I pass that every day.
Yeah, so right in that area, and it's like borderlines Queens, borderline
Long Island.
Right, so it's just an awkward place, but it happened at like, I think like 12:45 at night. I think we were coming back from a show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it's like to try to get a tow truck that time of night, or get somebody like a AAA or anything yeah. like that to come out and help you? Like, no,
I'll tell you one thing, it's really easy in rush hour, all the freaking accidents.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you can't stop them from towing your car.
Right. It's true.
But yeah, that's accurate. Past a certain hour, there's like no cars on the road, no tow trucks.
And like, you make a phone call, but like, there's only so many people, so
that
all of a sudden
still open, yeah.
it'll take you 3 hours to get somebody to come help you.
Right.
So, you know, this way, you know, I pulled off and, you know, I was in the mud and I was dirty and I was upset and it was cold because it was like halfway in the winter.
Yeah.
But, you know, after about 25 minutes of messing around with it, I was able to get the tire plugged, get air back in the tire and get going again. And you know what? Like, just the fact that I was inconvenienced stinks, but it was way better than all the money that would have happened if roadside assistance had to come.
Right. I mean, still use a spare tire also.
Yeah, there is. Okay. But I'll tell you a couple things about that. The first thing is, some of these cars now are coming without spares, or they don't come with full-size spares. They come with donut spares.
Yeah.
On the Space Savers. And, you know, for the cars that don't come with a spare and they have either the can of Fix-A-Flat, and by the way, whichever OE decided that that was a good idea, they have a can of, like, Fix-A-Flat that they actually put in as, like, oh, well, this is what you use. But the next thing is, you know, a lot of them are run flats. But if you buy a car secondhand that was a run flat car that didn't come with a spare, don't be surprised if the tires that are on your car now are not run flats.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, people yeah, that...
You got to make sure that they were replaced with that, because people will just yep. put whatever tires on it.
Yo, and it happens, especially...
As long as it's, like, the same size.
Right, especially like, right. for some lease turn-ins, or if you buy a few-year-old BMW or anything right. like that, the original owner goes to replace the tires, and it's like, oh, well, it's going to be, like, you know...
However, you know, much money.
$1,500 to put the run flats on, or we can get you these tires for like $800. You know, for, you know what I'm talking about, for the set. And it's right. like, oh, well, what's the difference in the tire? Oh, nothing in the tire. It's just that you don't have a spare. And like,
yeah. I don't care. Screw it.
Right. And then you inherit a car that doesn't have run flats and you don't have a spare. So, yeah. you know, plug it.
I actually picked up a spare for the CRV recently.
What junkyard did you get it at?
Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
So, somebody was selling. He was selling a full set and wanted... It was like $100 for the whole set. And yeah. I was like, man, I just need one. Like, what am I going to do with the remaining four? And, like, he was like, you got to buy them all. So I was like, screw it, I'll buy them all and sell the set.
Yeah.
And I get there and I was looking at them. There was one that had, like, a really good one. And he was like, oh, are you coming? You know, some guy is going to come and pick them up. But I told him you're coming from Brooklyn. I have to go to Jersey. I told him you're coming from Brooklyn. So I told him, no, I get there. And I was like, I just want the one. Can you tell the other guy to, like, come and pick up the rest of them? He was like, all right, let me see what he says. The other dude actually came, bought the remaining ones, and I picked, like, the best one spare.
Nice.
Out of the whole set for, like, $20.
Nice. So, yeah, I have...
Can't go wrong.
What kills me is, like, I went to my mom's house to, like, help her out with something, and I found a multitude of different wheels I've taken off my cars. That she's like, can we get rid of these one day? And I'm like, I don't know what to even do with them. But like, I got stock Bug Eye WRX wheels. I got, nice. I have like two sets of Eclipse wheels.
Facebook Marketplace.
I don't even want to mess with it. I just want them gone. So if anybody wants some wheels,
give them to me. I'll put them on Facebook Marketplace.
You come get them. You can take them. I'm telling you right now. You come get them. You're yours.
Stick them in the back of the CRV and put them on Facebook Marketplace.
No problem. Good to happen. You can take it. Do it. Cool. So there's that. Down. And also, if anybody needs a TPMS tool, I think I have one.
That I don't need. My car's a 98.
Right. But I would say, look, you know, I mean, TPMS sensors, I mean, especially like, and even on track, you know, some of the guys... Now with the sophisticated race cars, you know, Indy cars, F1 cars, stuff like that.
Yeah, those fancy.
They have different things because they're looking to make sure that they have proper air pressures.
Right.
They're really important, you know?
Yeah.
So, listen, I guess the summary of this whole thing is if you have a TPMS sensor in your car, keep them. You know your time and place. Know what it does. Do a little research for your own particular vehicle. But it certainly is a useful thing, especially if you're daily driving your car. And it could save you a lot of headache.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah. I guess that's pretty much it.
So recapping, don't forget that the giveaway ends in just a couple of days. Make sure you go get subscribed up. Again, subscribe to the channel here because not only do we come out with these awesome conversations, and we have interviews and some automotive news and wheel tech stuff, but we're going to randomly do giveaways like this again. The one other thing that you should understand is that clicking that notification bell and subscribing is going to be a key to how you're going to know if you won. Yeah. Because how we're going to tell the winners is we're going to put in about the week or so following the giveaway ending, we're going to put up a video for 24 hours that says who's the winner is.
Yes.
And tell you how to contact us. And you will have to contact us and prove you are who you are.
Yeah. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you have the bell notification so that way you get notified when we upload videos.
If you don't reply back in 24 hours, it's over. Yep. You get nothing.
Lost a chance.
That's right.
We're going to delete the old video and put a new one.
We're going to delete the old video, right. And
so
we're going to put
might
up
not even know.
We're going to put up the new video that says the winner is. That means you have now lost your turn if we don't hear from you.
Yeah.
So you're only going to know by you're going to have 24 hours, a limited amount of time. You better be subscribed and you better have that notification bell. That's how it works. Make sure you get it done. And so many people talk about wheel giveaways. When are you going to do one? Now we're doing one. And I'm telling you right now, you have a great chance of possibly winning a set of wheels or a t-shirt or something like that through this giveaway contest. I've seen how many people have made the effort. You have a good chance. It's time. Do it. Yeah. That's it, right?
I'm pretty sure that's it.
All right. So that is it. Take care of yourself. Have a good week. We will catch you back here next Wednesday. And as always, we're live on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Take care.
Peace.